was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in on a rising tide. Look beyond the shadows. Behold a pale horse ride.
To those of you out there that wonder why people switch from this, the concept of this style of governing to a sovereignty defense, you wonder why, and this is why. This right here shows you why people become completely fed up and reject the system that was allegedly created to preserve and protect their rights. I just wanted to go on record for saying that. This is just so egregious that I've seen a lot, and it blows my mind.
Yeah, well, and you know, the first meeting we had with the FBI, it was actually set up by Don Young, and Don Young's chief of staff went in and sat down with the FBI with us. And you know, when he was there, they were pretty gung-ho about, you know, trying to do something. But then when nothing happened, we'd keep going back, and they basically, they've told us several things as reasons why they haven't done anything. One is that supposedly state sovereignty, you know, the right of the states to, you know, conduct their own business without, you know,
yeah, no,
Big Daddy, you know, Big Daddy federal government
that
coming
work.
In.
No. If someone takes a rock from a desert, they can persecute and prosecute them and throw them in jail for 5 years. That I don't buy that.
Well, I'm just telling you what they said, okay? They said that state sovereignty, keeps them out until I exhaust all state remedies. And see, the state just keeps delaying. I could prove that they're doing it. They're falsifying pay affidavits to delay. In Alaska, there's a statute. There's four separate statutes for every level of judges, you know, district court judges, superior court, court of appeals, and Alaska Supreme Court. The law says that to be paid, they have to certify nothing presented to them for a decision that's gone longer than 6 months. Every judge that I've had in my case has violated that, even after I notified them, because they never get prosecuted. And so that's why it kind of keeps getting extended out. Well, if you realize that by extending it out over, you know, mine case is now coming up on 14 years, and if it's still going on in state court, if the FBI believes or is saying that they can't step in while there's still legal proceedings going on within the state, that means that as long as the states delay, the FBI will never step in.
Yeah.
Then they also said that for them to prosecute, like, judges and law enforcement agents and other things, that they need, because of immunity of law enforcement agents and immunity of state judges.
There is no, once somebody's rights are violated, they have no protection by.
Again, I'm just telling you what They totally face that the, you know, the FBI, their big building there on 6th Avenue in Anchorage, Alaska.
Well, my argument is,
you know,
this, very simply, when a public official uses their position to violate the constitutionally protected rights of an individual, they cease to be working as an agent of said government. And then what needs to happen is you actually have to go after them in a private capacity. And this is do you have community support where you live?
Oh, yeah. Communities.
Are you
have me on the radio station now. There's,
okay.
Yeah.
Listen,
Facebook,
here's
it's just
question.
Like the whole.
Here's a question. Are your folks in your community, are they familiar with a community of safety process?
I've never heard of it.
Okay, well, I'm going to be sending you and some folks in your community the information on the community or the committee of safety. It sounds to me like you folks in your local community need to bind together and quite possibly it sounds like the grounds for a citizen's grand jury. These people need to be they need to be charged in a public light by the local community. This is the way our founders during the formulation of our republic, committee of safety process was exactly what was needed to combat this type of thing. So you know, the power does reside within the people, and if it's done properly, the people can affect a enormous amount of change. This is one of the concepts that, you know, several political prisoners now they initiated, but it needs to be done, because it sounds to me that if this isn't done in this case, Alaska is pretty much doomed to be, you know, I might as well play the Godfather music behind this whole recording, because this is,
yeah.
I mean, this
well,
is not,
you know,
a republic.
Well, you know, like I said, my representatives and the other one, my state representative up here, his name's Mike Chenault, they are looking into, and he's the one that actually, when I ran by him, what everybody who was involved, he's the one who brought this up. He said, we need an independent commission to publicly investigate, you know, what's gone on in my case and just all allegations of crime. And I didn't even know what that meant. Well, I looked into it, and in New York City, when there was really rampant corruption with the New York City Police Department, they convened the Mullen Commission, and it was named for, I think, one of the chief guy in the commission. But it was the only way for them to get through all the levels of, you know, suppression that would be brought to bear had it been a commission, you know, of people in Alaska. And so what I foresee, and what, you know, my state legislators have agreed to look into, and, you know, they brought it up, is to, what I foresee is maybe to have half a dozen people from the East Coast fly in, given the power to subpoena, given the power to grant immunity, and then on public TV up here, or, you know, whatever, private TV, have them conduct business. And what I want to see, Tom, is
what you're talking about is very similar to a committee of safety, and there's more power in the local people there. What is your sheriff? Do you have a local sheriff?
No, we don't have sheriffs in Alaska.
Okay.
And that's one thing that people complain of. It's all Alaska state troopers, who none of them are elected, they're all appointed, and they never, there's no way to, you know, to flush them out, to clean, you know, to get rid of them.
I wonder if there's a process to initiate by the consent of the town people in your area. I wonder if there's a way that they can decide to engage in electoral process to elect a sheriff. It sounds like you need one.
We do, and there have been other people that have pointed that out, but I haven't really researched that. I have a beautiful wife, two beautiful daughters.
David, I can
tell
you
I try to have some sort of life, you know.
I'm on it for you.
know,
I'm going to be reaching out to Sheriff Mack and giving him a copy of this as well, who is a constitutional sheriff down here, and he runs the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. But also I'm going to be reaching out to Representative Matt Shea. I'm going to be giving a copy of this to Chris Ann Hall, who's a constitutional attorney and a speaker. She teaches constitution all over the country. So there's going to be several people that are going to get copies of this that I pray to God that those of them listening to this recording, I pray to God that they are they're as moved as I am and compelled to do something about this, because this cannot be allowed to happen in a republic. It cannot.
Yeah, well, I agree, and I know that there's a lot of people now that are woken up, you know, have woken up as to, you know, what's going on. You know, after I was tased, that got, you know, basically went viral, and then people started actually reading the documents and whatnot. There's one other thing that I feel compelled to tell you about is we were at the FBI, I think, a separate time, and there was a third agent that we talked to, and we were going over the evidence of the troopers, you know, tampering with evidence and whatnot. And he said, man, you know, before we can do anything, why don't you go out and contact Trooper Internal Affairs? And so, and I was actually at this meeting with the FBI with a former trooper friend of mine. And we walk out of the FBI building in Anchorage, and I get out my cell phone, I put it on speaker, and I call the troopers. And I finally get a hold of their trooper or their internal affairs department. And the trooper identified himself as Lieutenant Keith Mallard, you know, Mallard like a duck. And he said he was the sole internal affairs investigator for all of Alaska State Troopers. And I said, hey, you know, Mr. Mallard, or, you know, Lieutenant Mallard, my name's Dave Haig, and I just came out of the FBI, and they wanted me to give you the evidence I have of wrongdoing of the troopers. And listen to this, Tom. This is what Lieutenant Mallard of the troopers told me. Mr. Haig, I've heard of your case. All you have are sour grapes over being convicted, and I won't dignify your complaint with an address to send it to. And then he hung up on me.
That's in violation of the laws, too. He has rules that he has to follow. And I just want to say this for the record. In my state, if you bring an allegation of impropriety to law enforcement, about law enforcement, that not only do they have a duty to take that, an obligation to take that complaint, but they also have to report quarterly to the Attorney General of their state. I don't know if your laws are similar, but I imagine they aren't too far off of that. But go ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, that was a shocker. You know, the friend of mine that was with me, his name is Wendell Jones. He was a former Alaska State Trooper. He about went white. He's just like, how can that be? Because, you know, like I said, Wendell Jones was, we were just in the FBI, and when the FBI tells you to contact Trooper Internal Affairs, you would think Trooper Internal Affairs would take note, wouldn't you?
Okay. Well, the FBI also told you that you had to exhaust every remedy, which I think that was probably one of your last remedies in all reality, except for this faux stall process that the courts, who are obviously, you've given ample evidence to prove that there's corruption within the judicial system, therefore that process has exhausted itself, in my opinion. I mean, I know that I'm not an attorney, but once you can prove that there is a reasonable amount of corruption within the judiciary, of course that they can spin their wheels. They can spin their wheels for years. So you have exhausted every reasonable remedy. And at this point, this should be an issue that the FBI, with that information regarding the state police internal affairs, did you alert the FBI again after that fact?
Yeah, called them back, and, you know.
And they said?
You know, I don't remember specifically what happened, but I know that I've contacted them since. Right. And they basically just keep saying, you know, keep going. And they, this is something that I, you know.
This is what we pay income tax for, right? I don't think
well,
so. Oh,
well, yeah, I don't know. And you know, like I said, along with the, you know, them saying about the immunity and stuff, they said, you know, to go after state judges, they said basically you need to have a videotape of the judge being handed money and then the judge saying, I am receiving this bribe to rig this trial. And
so whereas you only need hearsay to convict one of the public who is supposed to be arbiters of the, oh, my God.
Yeah, but I mean that I'm just telling you, and Tom, you know, a lot of what, because we're on the inside of the snow globe, so to speak, and I've been told this stuff for so long, a lot of it I don't know whether it's actually true or not true. I try to research it when I can, you know, when I have time, but
sure.
you understand is if you're in, you know, if you're immersed in it for so long and so beat down and exhausted and, you know, I mean, I'm telling you that years ago when they took our airplane and everything, I was basically on the verge of suicide. I mean, there was just, you know, nothing.
It's,
you know, and so
you're not the only one. One of the special agents in charge in the Bureau of Land Management bragged about pushing an elderly doctor to the point that he killed himself. And he actually bragged about it after the fact. This is systemic. It's not just in Alaska, but of course it sounds particularly egregious because of the dynamics of Alaska being such a remote and small communities, and once corruption roots in a situation like that, it seems almost impossible to eradicate it. But we're gonna try. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we conclude today's interview? Because I'm sure that we're gonna talk again.
Just, you know, that, you know, our information is on, you know, Facebook. People can go there and look at it. And, you know, Alaska State of Corruption. We started a petition on change.org. And it's, I think it's like Governor Bill Walker, and we're asking him to convene an independent commission to publicly investigate corruption. And, you know, it's just basically we want, you know, to everybody to know what's going on and to spread the word because, you know, in reality, like you said, it's hard for us to do anything, but it is starting to gain traction. So, you know, basically,
well, I think anything people can do to... part, an essential part is that your local community comes together and you look into the Committee of Safety process. I'm going to send you information about that, but that's something that you want to look into because there is power in the people and your local community knows the situation. This is all the concept of a jury of your peers. Your peers are people from your community, people that know about you. Well, the power is within the grand jury, and the grand jury is comprised of who? The people. So if the people are retain that kind of power. This is what a lot of people don't understand. There is power in the people if the people know how to organize themselves appropriately. So please do look
into
that
process.
Yeah,
I've heard that before. So I look forward to that. And just as a side note, the guy that prosecuted me, Scott Leaders, he was an assistant attorney general when he prosecuted me. He now got promoted to be district attorney of the whole Kenai Peninsula, which is where I live. So now the guy that did this to me 14 years ago is now the district attorney, you know, and that's
great. That's just wonderful.
Isn't it? And you ought to look up this, or everybody should. There was a Peninsula Clarion article. The Peninsula Clarion is a newspaper here. Immediately after my trial, the Peninsula Clarion published an article of a case in which Scott Leaders, the prosecutor, was involved in. The case was overseen by a pro tem, which means, you know, temporary judge. His name was Larry Card. The paper quoted Larry Card, the judge, stating, "This is not Iraq. Never in my whatever 30 years as a judge have I seen so many discovery violations in a most serious case."
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
His name was Larry Card. The paper quoted Larry Card, the judge, stating, "This is not Iraq. Never in my, whatever, 30 years as a judge have I seen so many discovery violations in a most serious case, murder." And guess who the prosecutor was? Scott Leaders. So like in the next case after mine, the judge published in the paper that he'd never seen as many discovery violations by the same guy who prosecuted me, and guess what, in my case, didn't give us discovery of the map they falsified, the recording proving that Scott Leaders, the prosecutor, was involved in falsifying it. You know,
and of course he's given a promotion. And what is the name of this article? Do you remember?
What is the what?
What is the name of the article? Do you remember the title of the article?
I don't remember, but if you just Google
Peninsula
Clarion and put in there Judge Larry Card or Scott Leaders, it will come up.
I got it. And I'm on it. And okay, with that, AlaskaStateOfCorruption.com, Alaska State of Corruption on Facebook, and those of you that are listening to this, we're going to be reporting on this at RTR Truth Media, Resurrect the Republic, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be, our eyes are on this. I'm also going to be giving this information to a fellow who goes by the handle of Lone Star 1776. And we're going to get this out to as many people as possible. Also, I'm going to be sending this to Sherry DeValley of Redoubt News, who has been instrumental in getting a lot of the information out. On the Bundy case, there were literally a very liberal judge was incensed at the actions of not only federal prosecutors but the federal agencies involved in the Bundy case, and she declared a mistrial with prejudice and dismissed the charges against, she declared a mistrial and then dismissed with prejudice the charges against Cliven Bundy and the rest of the defendants there. And these were she based that upon primarily 8 Brady violations, and there were many, many, many more that were never even, they didn't even get to that point. With just those 8 Brady violations, because the public, their eyes were on it. And this is the essential thing here, is that we need to get the public's eyes on it. We need to get other states and other state representatives, like Matthew Shea, he has integrity, he has honor, and he takes interest in cases outside of his own state, advocate for people who are wrongfully persecuted. I have a high degree of respect for him. I'm going to be sending that to him today, this recording. And God bless you, David. We're with you, and I'll do everything that I can for you.
Okay, well, yeah, I really appreciate it, Tom, and, you know, call anytime, and, you know, if you need anything, let me know.
I will. I just, yes, absolutely. I will do that. God bless
okay.
you. You have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Folks, you realize what you were hearing there was another, you know, it's sad to say that it looks like we're going to have plenty of content for the future. It's sad, but these cases are now, they're you know, with modern social media and citizen journalism, I'm seeing a backlash, of course, from the social media giants and from Google, Twitter, all these platforms that we're using. I think that we've gotten a little bit too comfortable using them. So we're going to start backing up our content on other sites such as Steemit and Reddit and there's a number of them. I suggested that all of you out there start using a couple different of these venues to use. Anyway, I have a little bit of news before we get to a clip from Cliven Bundy with Larry Klayman in an interview. I have some news. The facility that I'm in, you know, the situation I'm in, those of my regular listeners out there. And I'm going to be trying to do more of these interviews because I have now been denied the allowance to do my radio show from this location. So if I wanted to, they're not going to tell me I can't. I can leave the premises, but I'm in Oregon. It's raining and cold, so I'm probably going to either have to rent or utilize some space. So I'm going to need public support. You can go to PayPal, paypal.me/RTRTruthMedia. If I ever needed your help, I need it now. Even just a little bit from quite a few of you, just a little bit from quite a few, and we can keep this thing going. But without your help, I'm just not going to be able to do it, and that's all there is to it. I'm just going to be straight honest with you right now. That's the way it's going to be. My family, my wife and I have borne the brunt of a year of being a guest at the Federal Hilton for standing up for these people. And I would do it 100 times over again. I don't regret a thing. But without your support, it's not going to happen. So coming up after the break, Cliven Bundy in an interview with Larry Klayman. Maybe we're looking at Bundy for sheriff or governor. We'll be back. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is an interview with Cliven Bundy.
This is Rob Land with 360daily.net in Battlefield, Nevada. And we are honored today to have Cliven Bundy and Larry Kamen, who is an attorney here representing Mr. Bundy. And I wanted to congratulate you, obviously, on your freedom, hard-fought case. And were you surprised how it actually turned out on Monday, that you were just, after 700 days in custody, all of a sudden it's over?
You know, it was a little bit unbelievable. I had the people in the pod, my pod, saying at the jail, saying it was going to happen today. But you know, I really didn't have too much faith even halfway through the judge's speech. I was still thinking, well, she's going to change this around, and it's not going to work. But she didn't, and she released me. And I went into this jail system, justice system of the United States, an innocent man, and I said I wasn't going to come out until I was innocent. And I don't really feel like that I come out an innocent man. I would have rather stayed before the jury and let the jury make that decision. I didn't like the idea of the judge making the decision. I felt like the judge made the decision because she favored the government. And not only the government, she favored, you know, the county and the county sheriff and the state of Nevada. She favored them in the fact that she never really let justice come forth, and she protected them. And so I had those thoughts as, you know, as she made her decision. I would lot rather stay before that jury and made that jury come out and said, hey, this is an innocent man.
Well, I was in the courtroom a couple of times, and I looked at the jury, and I was convinced, looking at the jury and listening to them, listening to testimony, that this jury was not going to convict you. It didn't look like these guys were really positive in their facial reactions and so forth to the government. They were following what you guys had to say.
Yeah. And, you know, I tried to read the jury. I couldn't read the jury, but I could read one thing for sure, that there was like they said three and a half. I keep saying this, 2.5 witnesses went before that jury, 2.5, the last witness never finished. And I felt like the prosecution failed, and I felt like the defense, they beat those people up. And so we considered them as being their best witnesses, you know, so...
You talking about the female BLM?
BLM people. I mean,
she was horrible. I watched her. She was sitting there with her arms folded. She was very hostile. She was not a good witness for the government.
Well, sure. And they had the district of Nevada, Southern Nevada BLM district manager there for that she managed. I don't know for what 7 years or something through this thing. They were beat up. Let's just put it that way. They were beat up. And they were the government's best witnesses. And so I could see right then, well, the longer this went, the worse the government was going to get beat up, because we were putting forth the truth and the honesty, and they couldn't handle that.
You were facing prison for the rest of your life, essentially.
Yes, rest for my life and even rest of my son's life,
and
too.
And here you are, sitting here, a couple of days later, a free man, No prison guards, no prison cell, no prison food. You're a free man. How does it feel?
Well, I can tell you one thing. Freedom feels awful good.
Did yes. God answer your prayers?
He did every day, and I'll testify to that. I was in there for right at 700 days, and there was never a day that he didn't... I'm talking about God and his blessings upon me. He comforted me somehow every day, to where I knew that he was there. I knew that he was with me, and I was just, you know, just wanting to do his will, I guess. You know, the only thing he ever really asked me to do was have patience, and I guess I must have learned patience.
Well, you did it. You held a press conference today, and at the press conference, you made some interesting statements. And I wanted to explore those. The first one was, it sounded like you might be thinking about running for office, maybe sheriff or governor or something. Are you seriously considering that?
Well, would like to say to you is it's definitely obvious that we need a new sheriff. Either we need a new sheriff or he needs to do his job. Was involved with a fusion. He was part of an conspiracy. He was involved with entrapment, and he did put his own citizens in harm. He let an army point their guns at him, an American citizen, his citizens.
Did he perjure himself?
He perjured himself in the courts in the last trials. Several times.
So I did watch the video of Sheriff Lombardo at the standoff, and then compared what he said to what was reported about on the record about what he testified to. And they weren't consistent.
No, and if you really want to see how he perjured himself, you know, he said, all of those people on horses had guns pointed at me. And then we have video showing nobody had a gun. Nobody was even carrying a gun. There was none. And he said all of them. And he said, you know, that they had fear. And there was no fear there. There was no violence. The fear had to be with we, the people, with all of those federal agents pointing their guns at them. Yeah, there was some fear there. But how could those people over there, all their army armaments, their helmets, their vests, their guns, and their backup? I mean, do you realize that that stand, so supposedly called standoff, that was really a protest, mm-hmm. a protest to the county sheriff? Those, and I wasn't there. I'm just saying, we the people faced these people head on and basically didn't back down. That was what was a miracle, and nobody got shot. But it was also a miracle, and American people actually had, let's call it, guts enough and courage and faith enough to stand against up against that army.
Let's make sure that the audience understands, because not everyone knows your story and even remembers every detail of the standoff, quote unquote, or protest. You and your sons, at no time were armed during that protest, were you?
No.
You didn't carry weapons yourself at any time?
No time. There was hundreds of people there, and there was a few people that had sidearms on. Mm-hmm. And they were, again, hundreds of people there, and they was, at the time that they called this standoff, I would say that maybe there was maybe five or six people that had long arms that maybe was in the area.
So there was one man who was on the bridge. There was a photo of him, very famous photo of him, on the ground aiming his rifle through a crack in the bridge. And the gunman pled him to a misdemeanor. The one guy who actually had a gun aimed down range, and they pled him to a misdemeanor. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that you...
Were they serious? Or were they just after you guys?
Well, they was really after one man. What it amounts to, they was after one man.
You.
He was the one that had a vested interest there. He'd been the one that basically had challenged the government on their ownership of their land. He challenged their jurisdiction and authority, and he challenged their policing power. And they didn't like that. And the federal government don't like people that do that, and so I was their number one man on their hit list.
Your family has owned the land there since the 1800s, is that correct?
My family has been involved in that area since 1877. In fact, January the 7th, 1877 was the day they moved into the valley. They had a team of horses pulling a wagon, pulling everything they owned, and they pulled in there and started to settle that Virgin River Valley there.
So I understand your family's been there since the 1800s. Did you have grazing rights, water rights, and were they taken from you by the government? How did that actually come about?
You know, those rights, they really can't take them away. They basically try to destroy them. And they tried to deny that they ever had those rights. That's their tactic. Those rights were like private property rights. They're created through beneficial use, and so of the resource. And the resources is things like water, livestock water, and forage, grass, brush, and things like that. Those rights were established by beneficial use of the new resource. And that's exactly what my pioneer fathers did. They come into the area, and, for example, they had their family, their, say, covered wagon, their horses. They might have had a milk cow tied on the back of their wagon. They had everything they owned in there, and they pull up to an area, and they say, this sort of looked like a nice spot to camp. So what happened? What did they do? The very first thing they did, what was the greatest need?
Water.
Water. So they unbuckled their team from the wagon and took it up the stream or the spring, and the first second that horse drunk one drop of water, that was making beneficial use of a renewable resource. And Nevada law recognized the first come, first served, I think, and the one that put it to beneficial use first. That's how they created their water rights.
Was this part of the litigation that you went through?
They didn't ever want to talk about that. They this litigation was all a criminal charge. They didn't want to talk about rights. They didn't want to talk about land. They didn't want to talk about cattle. They didn't want to do anything. They wanted to steal cattle, And then they basically wanted to indict me for supposedly trying to protect my cattle. And that's what this whole federal charge is all about, is me impeding, endangered. What's the rest of legal terms they use?
Entrapment, prosecutorial misconduct.
We're gonna take a break.
We're
going to take a break right now. Okay. We'll be back in 2 minutes. This is Rob Lauer for Battlefield Nevada.
And they cover their face because they're nothing but a bunch of cowards. What happened down there pisses me off, quite frankly. This guy, Michael Bennett, who has already proven to be a media whore in my estimation.
This is Rob Lauer back with Cliven Bundy. Welcome back, and Mr. Klayman. Let's go to you first as the attorney real
sure.
quick. Does he have a civil case here against the government for what happened?
He does. I mean, he has a case. He's analyzing his options right now. But for malicious prosecution, for violation of civil rights. We know, for instance, from the whistleblower who came forward that there was prejudice against Mormons. I mean, severe prejudice against them. He had kill lists put out on him. He had targets with X's on them put up on walls. This was a total hit when it comes both to his political rights, his legal rights, and his religious rights.
What about the Brady violations? Are those actionable in a civil court against the prosecutor, against the government? Is that something that you can sue?
They're actionable in a number of different areas. For instance, we have pending right now complaints, which I filed about 4 months ago with the Office of Professional Responsibility and the Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Justice.
Now, this is against Stephen Meyer, the prosecutor.
Against Stephen Meyer and the other prosecutors, as well as the FBI agents. That's under the authority of the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, in the Justice Department. I'm a former Justice Department lawyer. And that complaint really has a lot of teeth right now, particularly after the court's ruling of last Monday. So I'm sure that that will be pursued by the Justice Department. I previously went into court to force them to pursue it. Now they don't need to be forced. It's right in front of them.
And so if you have a lawsuit pending against them, which might equal more than $1 million, which they claim in fees that you owe, which obviously you dispute, what's their position then moving forward trying to enforce the so-called grazing fees that are supposedly owed?
Well, they would be very unwise to do that, particularly at this time. I don't believe that the Trump administration would ever do that. The president is on our side, and so are the people that now run BLM, in theory. But we have to get the point across, and that's why this show is very valuable, because they need to be educated as to what it's all about. You know, we had a press conference earlier today. Somebody came up to me, and they said, Cliven should be a professor. He is a constitutional expert. He certainly was before he went into prison, but he had plenty of time to perfect that in the last 2 years, and he's one of the finest people, if not one the finest person I've ever met in terms of his character, his integrity, and what he believes in. There are very few people in this country who would do what Cliven did and what his family did. They're just like him. He taught them and raised them well. These are really fine people. They're true Americans.
And that brings me to another issue, Mr. Klayman. You made it sound like you were going to run for office. Are you thinking about it?
Well, you know, I'm a rancher.
What'd you think about it?
I'm a rancher at heart, and you know, really sort of love the land and the farm. You know, I'm a farmer, probably maybe even before a rancher. When you get right down to what I love and like, politics.
So was George Washington.
Well, yeah, and you know, and I
John Adams.
And
that's
I think you know, if I dare compare myself with George Washington. He stood up and did what he needed to do as a civil servant. He stood up, and I'm sure he wasn't interested in running for president of the United States, but he went and did it. And I don't know where I'm going to be. If the call comes, I guess I would answer it.
What is your main contention, so people understand, with the federal government over the land rights issue that you were standing for? What was it? You can break it down in really simple so the average person can understand. What was it that you were fighting for in the standoff and continue to fight for to this day?
Well, very simple. What I was fighting for is state sovereignty, statehood. I don't believe there's really a fight here. I believe that this, according to our Constitution, I believe Congress disposed of this land, made it, admitted it into the statehood. And I believe this area, this land, the Nevada, was admitted into the statehood, and it has the Constitution, and that limits the federal government to have anything to do with this land, except what you find in Article 1, 8, and 17, which basically says that the government can buy some land from the state of Nevada, and they could buy it if the Nevada representatives would approve it, and Congress needs to approve it, Congress of the United States needs to approve it, then they have to pay for the land, and then the land can only be used for two things. One is for military use, like an Air Force base or some type of military use, and it could be used for things like courthouses or other buildings, like post office or courthouse. Other than that, the United States government can't own land. And then the question would come, well, if they own this land in Nevada, why would they have to buy it from the state of Nevada? And the other question comes, well, if Nevada doesn't own this land, how can they sell it to the federal government? So it's very clear that the federal government can't own this land, and yet they claim they own pretty close to 90% of it. They control it politically and physically, and they talk about all of the things I'm talking about, the land ownership, they talk about the Nevada law, they talk about the sheriff's policing powers all being moot. And, you know, I used to think that's a terrible thing to say, a federal government say all these things are moot. And then I thought, Senior Judge Lloyd George says they're all moot, these issues I bring forward. And I think, Lloyd George, I'm going to hold you accountable. And I think about this for a couple months. And then this thing comes over my mind. You know, Judge George, you're 100% right. These things are all moot to your court. You know, you don't have nothing to do with this land. You don't have nothing to do with this water rights, state law. You know, you don't have nothing to do with my cattle operation at all. And I don't have no contract with the federal government, so you don't own the land, and I don't have no contract, and so this court that you claim has all this jurisdiction authority, that you even admit that all my issues are moot to this court, you don't have no jurisdiction authority. You don't have jurisdiction.
So what were they trying to accomplish by rounding up your cattle and then slaughtering them and burying them in the desert? Why would they at least try to take those assets and sell them to offset so-called grazing rights that they were owed? What was the purpose at the end of the day to destroy your property?
Well, you've got to go back about 30 years ago. They come out with a policy called full force and effect. And it was a policy because of the desert tortoise, endangered species. And they basically said the desert tortoise can't share the habitat with the cow, and they were court issues.
Hold on, cows don't eat tortoises.
No, but they say
the tortoises live off the cows.
Yeah, they say they share the same habitat, so that, you know, that's basically sort of these same type of climate, land, and they eat basically the same kind of feed. Of course, a tortoise only. You know, an average-sized tortoise only eats about 6 to 8 pounds of dry matter in a year, and a cow eats twice that much in one day. But a desert tortoise, you know, he can go under a bush and under a rock and things like that, but a cow can't even get close to. There was plenty for both, and the courts actually ruled. There was no conflict, no scientific conflict between the cow and the tortoise. And so the rancher, after them lawsuits, they come out of the courthouse and they said, well, we won. They're great, you know. But now the environmentalist attorneys come out of the courthouse, right down the same step, and they reach over and said, but they may be a conflict. The court says they wasn't, but they may be a conflict. So we had a full force and effect, being basically was going to eliminate you because of desert turtles. Now, 2 weeks later, we get a new full force and effect in the mail, certified mail, saying a new force, full force and effect, and we're going to eliminate you. Basically, no cows can run with the tortoise on the tortoise habitat. Well, the serious thing.
Millions of acres.
Yeah, millions of acres. And
how many cows did you have?
Well, I only had a few cows back in them days. But here's the thing: is I had 52 neighbors in Clark County at that time, and all of these ranchers had a few cows. But you know what? These administrative decisions. All of those ranchers are gone. It eliminated them. It bankrupted them. They had to give up. They lost their heritage. They lost their future. They lost their posterity life.
And isn't that what you're really fighting for today?
Well, sure.
But
not only that, we're producers. We produce something for American people. Now, I remember I said I had 52 neighbors. I want to talk about this. Clive and Bundy, and let's just talk about 200 head of cows and how many hamburgers do I produce. You know, those 200 head of cows produce, for Las Vegas, approximately 400,000 hamburgers.
Wow.
So my little operation will feed you 400,000 hamburgers. What would my 52 neighbors fed you?
All of us.
They're gone, yeah. That's why you have to buy your meat from Australia or Argentina or something like that.
We can probably say that the BLM made hamburger into chopped liver.
Yes.
And you forgot to mention one thing. The tortoises actually eat the cow manure, so they actually like the cows.
Sounds like it was a positive, not a negative, the cows.
It was.
To the environments. So there's another group of defendants, so-called tier two group, and they're going to be going on trial next month. How is your dismissal going to affect their trial? Should their case be dismissed? What's going on with that?
Well, let's let Larry explain that a little bit.
That should be a chip shot for those defendants. You know, whether it's Mel or Dave Bundy or other defendants, that should be dismissed as well with prejudice, and I'm confident that will be. Even Judge Navarro, who begrudgingly issued this order last Monday, she didn't do it out of the goodness of her heart. She didn't want to go down with a sinking ship.
Well, she's been really, from outside, just viewing the trial, hostile to Mr. Bundy and to the Bundy group, and hasn't seemed to be giving them benefits of the doubt. This is the first time I've seen her do anything like this.
Well, the dynamics, okay. The Las Vegas Review-Journal said that the prosecutors had a friend in Judge Navarro. She didn't want to be associated with him. When it became clear that the FBI had lied on the witness stand, that the prosecutors had lied to her, she basically had to disassociate themselves from them. And that's why Cliven says there would have been a jury verdict in his favor. In fact, the jurors were polled after she initially declared a mistrial, and 9 of them said they would have acquitted. In fact, there were 7 in the courtroom just the other day. On Monday, they came to see Cliven have his indictment dismissed. So it's a testament to our jury system. Our founding fathers were brilliant to put that into effect. I have great faith in jurors, so does Cliven, and justice was done in part, but there's work to do still.
I want to thank both you and Mr. Bundy for coming in, and congratulations on your victory.
Hey, thank you
so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having us.
You know, this button really says quite a bit.
It does. You should be proud.
Thank you.
This is Rob Lauer from Battlefield, Nevada.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.